Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 26 of season 2. This week we are studying Matthew chapter 27, Mark chapter 15, Luke chapter 23, and John chapter 19. And these chapters give various accounts of the trials, condemnation, and crucifixion of our Savior Jesus Christ. One thing that's important to remember is that crucifixion was a particularly cruel way of death. Mostly it was just kind of a tool of suffering and torture. And people would actually come and watch the accused suffer on the crosses. And what would usually happen is when the spectacle was over, then the guards would break the legs of the people that were hanging on the crosses, and the shock of that would usually cause death. I just think it's just very special to me that the Savior was willing to suffer so much for our sakes. He commanded us to love one another, and then he showed his love for us through that those extreme actions. So it's special to me. But I want to bring out a couple of points in this week's reading that were meaningful to me. You'll remember that it was the season of Passover, and during that time, it was tradition for one criminal to be released as a show of compassion. Now, Pilate, who was a Roman authority, had the authority to do this. He wanted to release Jesus because he truly found no crime or reason why Jesus should be punished. And incidentally, Pilate's wife had been having nightmares and very troubling thoughts about this whole Jesus situation. And she told her husband to stay clear of it, but he didn't listen. It's just another reminder that men should listen to their wives, in my opinion. But instead of making his own decision and sticking to it based on the evidence that he had developed through talking with Jesus and consulting with his advisors, Pilate consulted the people. Now, this is almost always a bad idea. I think an unruly mob rarely has better judgment than the carefully considered decisions of a single individual. But nevertheless, that's the situation that was there. A reading in Mark 15, starting in verse 12, it says, "And Pilate answered and said unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And it says he said unto them, he means the people. And they, the people, cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. The part that always stands out to me is in verse 15, where it says, "And so Pilate, willing to content the people," and then he eventually delivered the Savior to his death. How many times have we made bad decisions because we want to content the people, or in other words, because we are seeking the approval of others? Now, I'm not saying that getting approval from other people is a bad thing, but if it's our primary motivation in making decisions, then we are likely to make worse decisions than better decisions if all we're thinking about is what other people are thinking about us. The gift of moral agency is probably the most important gift that we have in this life. It's one of the definitions of moral agency is the power and obligation to make our own choices. In 2 Nephi 2:26, we read in part, "And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon." So in the situation we were talking about with Pilate and him condemning Jesus to death, it seems more like Pilate was being acted upon by the will of the people, but his obligation was to act independent of that. So I'd like you to consider your own relationships. Do you feel like you are acting and making independent decisions in those relationships? Or do you feel like you have to choose certain things or behave in certain ways to keep the peace? Do you feel like you have no choice and that you're being acted upon? These are very important things to consider, because the goal for us is to choose for ourselves, to make righteous decisions, and then move forward with those decisions, regardless of what other people think or what other difficulties that we face. If Pilate would have stood up and been accountable and exercised his own agency instead of bending to the will of the people, then I don't think he would have found himself in the terrible position of having authorized the Savior's execution. And the lesson here is that we need to be strong. We need to get a witness of what is true and then stand firm in our defense of that. Don't be swayed by the crowd. Another thing that stood out to me in these readings was the Savior's different behavior when he was in the courts of Pilate and when he was in the courts of Herod. When he was with Pilate, Pilate asked Jesus questions and Jesus answered those questions. But when Jesus was with Herod, he didn't say a word. And we find this in Luke 23, starting in verse 8. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him in many words, but he, Jesus, answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. It says Herod was glad to see Jesus, but I think it was more like as a tourist, like a sideshow. He had heard of his fame, wanted to meet him in the flesh, wanted to see him do some cool miracle. And you'll remember that Herod was the one who had ordered the death of John the Baptist to cover up his own adulterous affair. And Jesus chose not to answer Herod. We don't know why. It could have something to do with the fact that Jesus' cousin was executed at Herod's request. But Jesus Christ is an example of so many good things. And in this case, he is an example to me of good boundaries. And the Savior was never cruel, and he probably could have said any number of true but horrible things about Herod, but the Savior chose to keep his peace in that situation. But he also didn't let himself get pushed around. He stood his ground and said nothing. Now, having healthy boundaries is such an important part of building relationships. It's more than we can get into in this podcast, but it's a very important topic. And we need to make sure that we are setting and enforcing appropriate boundaries with other people. Now, here's just one quick tip about this. If you find that you have a hard time setting and enforcing boundaries, the first place I would encourage you to take a look is at your self-confidence. People with low self-confidence often have problems with boundaries. Sometimes they tend to get walked over, or they feel like they always need to defer to the opinions or desires of others. And so a good way to get better at boundaries is to look at your self-esteem first. And if you can find ways to improve your self-esteem, you will probably naturally find that you have better boundaries as a result of that. You may have to do some specific work with boundaries, but I think it's going to be much easier once your self-esteem is better. Now, we have talked before about how the Savior's command to love others, that the Savior has commanded us to love others as we love ourselves. I believe that means that we are supposed to have a healthy love of self, which means to have good self-esteem and good self-confidence. Now, if you can learn to see yourself as the Savior sees you, I think you'll find that self-confidence is easy to develop. The Savior is your greatest fan. He knows you better than anyone. And I think that is important to understand. The Savior, who has the best understanding of us than anyone else in the world, also loves us the most deeply of anyone else in the world and accepts us the most fully of anyone else in the world. I think it's impossible to say that if someone really knew me that well, then they wouldn't accept me, because the Savior is proof of the opposite of that. The person who knows us the best is also the most loving and accepting of us. So I think that as we learn to follow the Savior's example, learn to see the ways that he loves us and understand his care and concern for us, then I think that can help us develop greater self-esteem and greater self-confidence, which then can improve our boundaries with other people. Now, I always end these podcast episodes with an invitation to act, and just invite you to give prayerful consideration to which of these invitations might be good for you to do in your life. So today's invitation is to take some time to consider how well that you set and enforce boundaries in your life. Are there things that you need to change? If so, what can you do to have better boundaries? And then as you answer those questions, give some thought to things you can do to improve your personal boundaries. I do have free worksheets that you can download to help you remember and implement the weekly invitations. To find out how to get these, just sign up for my email newsletter, and you can find that link in the show notes. I also invite you to subscribe to the podcast so you can access new episodes each week, and please share this with anyone you feel it would be helpful for. And there are written transcripts for the podcast now, and you can find that link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drdavidtmorgan.com.